preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, so grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. With us the past few days, you know we've been looking at a very sensitive subject. It is the subject of male leadership, especially from the perspective of the fall, now what we've experienced in society, and what God calls the biblical man to be. And you know, for there to be any real drive to change, if there be any real motivation to do this as men, we've got to understand. We've got to understand just what has happened and what the consequences have been because we've been neglectful in this. And so yesterday, we looked at very carefully, you know, some of the very sad things that have happened, that on average, American fathers today give their children less than 3 minutes of undivided attention a day. And then we looked at the fact that when there's no male leadership in the home or in the church or even in their schooling and training, when everything comes from the women today, their teaching, the spirituality in the home, the training in the home, when everything is dominated by the women, you end up promoting a sad thing to your children. If the father is out working hard to build his own home and he's non-existent in spiritual training of values and the woman is the sole impetus for spirituality, what's going to happen? Well, what does it create? Children are taught by example that being a part of the church is not a very manly thing. Now, I'm going to unpack that. I'm not promoting how our society defines manhood in saying that. But what happens is Christianity has become today totally effeminate. And you see what has happened with the absence of the Christian man, the absence of genuine and true male leadership. You look at the effects of this upon society. You have a whole bunch of young men today in their late 20s who have no identity. They're a video game culture. They are floaters. They are angry. They are isolated. They lash out at all the things they were never taught by their fathers to love. And the girls, it just goes without saying that the femininity of the girl and her view of herself is formed by the attention that her father gives her. And so when they turn 16, they're looking for some male to compensate for the lack of affection the father gave, and they usually end up victimized by a young man who sees and takes advantage of this very weakness. Now, what about the wives? Well, I hate to say this because I know it sounds so radical, but the fact is when we have men who won't love, the love of a man to his wife has a very softening, beautiful effect on her. But you know what happens when she's not loved? She becomes hard, dominant woman. When there is no love on the part of the husband, when he doesn't love his wife, he hardens her. A hard woman is the product of a totally neglectful husband. Jay Adams is absolutely correct. He says the best way to control a woman is not with force, but with love. Now, I know that sounds radical today, but Adam says she's built that way. When she is loved, she's fully under control. And we're going to unpack here in a minute what the problem is for the woman now that the fall has happened, what she struggles with. And there's a reason Jay Adams says that. So what we're seeing play out today in society, you know, is a desperate attempt by men and women to overcome the curse of Genesis, and all they're doing in trying to overcome the curse of Genesis is dig down farther and deeper into the pit to which we can't get out. We're seeing the total abandonment of all morality, ultimately because the structure of the family has disintegrated. And, you know, if we as Christians are supposed to be the light, you can understand how bad it is when very few Christians actually influence our culture by setting an example of what leadership should be, starting right in the home. Now, the problem can't be fixed. We've looked at the problem with male leadership and what he's been exposed to. The problem can't be fixed without also considering what's happened to the woman. You know, I'm going to come back to this, but what does the gospel restore? Well, the first thing Peter says to men in their responsibility is to dwell with their wives with understanding. That means with knowledge. Why? Why do men have to dwell with their wives with understanding? You have to understand her struggle, don't you? What happened to the woman? Well, if we turn back to Genesis chapter 3, this is what we read. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" Eve responds and says, "We cannot eat of the one in the midst of the garden. We are not to eat it or touch it, lest we die." And the devil said, "You will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so we read that Eve pondered this. She saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. In other words, what she pondered in her heart was the issue of what the devil promised, that when you eat of it, you will be as God. And as she ate, this was on her mind. This would make her wise. That's what the devil said. This is going to make you wise. And the question we should all ask is, wise to what? What would she finally see that the devil was promising? In other words, when she pondered in her heart, what she pondered in her heart was the issue of what the devil promised. When you eat of it, you will be your own God. And as she ate, this was on her mind. This would make her wise. She would have her eyes opened to see something. What was Satan really tempting Eve with when he positioned himself in the garden and offered her understanding, offered her the ability to be her own God? What Satan was doing was really providing a satanic assault on her position. Meaning that at the heart of Satan's attack and what really lured in Eve was the idea that she would break away from the chains God had placed upon her in making her a helper comparable to the man. Let me summarize this and think of our society today. Eve, you really don't have to be in the position you're in. You're under this God who's defined things for you. You're really blind to what you could be. You really are being held back. You could be so much more. You could be as God, knowing good from evil. You can define these things on your own terms. Has God really said, don't eat of the tree? Has he really said, oh, he knows that if you just take of the apple, you will be set free? You're going to be liberated from this oppressive design that God has placed you in. Just take of it. You'll get out of this. What's striking is that she then would give to her husband. She had to stand back from this and ponder the benefit of getting her husband to buy also into the devil's plan. She knew that God had created him to be her head and to lead her. But the dilemma to her own freedom was not only God himself, but it was the way that God had defined it for the husband. In other words, she understood she was taken out of the man and from the rib of man and was created to be a helper for the man. But if she were to become her own definer of her life and her position, she would then also have to break the very nature of the assignment given to the man. She would need to get him also to eat of the fruit with the goal of achieving her freedom. And so the next thing you read is that she went right to her husband, and I quote, "She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." And the next thing you read in Genesis is that the eyes of both of them were opened. God comes down and levels the curse against Eve for this, and this is the very thing he gave her over to. In Genesis 3:16, we see this in the curse. To the woman, he said, "I will multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Where God struck is right at the intention of Eve to abandon her position. Think about it. In the area that she was designed to be the greatest blessing and privilege to bear children, the whole process of bringing forth children, not just in conception, but in the whole process of it, she would face great pain. You will be in constant struggle, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's the same construction as Cain. Sin's desire is for you, but you should rule over it. The whole marital relationship would now be marked by this sort of war of the sexes, that the woman's innate struggle would be to overcome the headship of her husband, and that in history, his response would be a harsh rule over his wife. That's what we've seen play out in history, haven't we? That's exactly how the New Testament applied this. When it said, I don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then, because we have so many churches today who say, well, that was just a cultural thing, he roots it back in creation and says, no, you can't do that. This transcends culture. This is a creation ordinance. And he says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. In other words, the woman left her place and buying into the lie of the devil, that she could be her own God, that she could do whatever she wants to do and break free of God's design, the Lord is saying that in the gospel, the way a woman's redemption will bear fruit will be the kind of submissive life that God has designed for her in childbearing and nurturing her family in the beautiful fruits of righteousness. Now, this is the struggle. The man won't lead because of the fall, and the woman is trying to usurp the authority of the man. That is about as plain and basic as we could summarize what we've been considering. The man won't lead, and the woman's trying to usurp that authority so that he responds not in love to that kind of usurping attack, but he responds harshly to that. That has been history. That's why things are a mess. And I would argue there is no time in history when we have seen the wholesale abandonment of the biblical design and acceptance of that in the church and world than in the last 40 years. We're going to look at that tomorrow. But I want us to think about this. You know, when we try to do it our way, look at the divorce rates. Look at the hurting children. When I grew up, it was the latchkey kid time, right? We have all these people who grow up without children, who grow up without even seeing a family function the way that God has designed it. And if we're going to go back to what God said, we're going to have to humble ourselves and say, our way hasn't worked, Lord. The only way that's going to work is us listening to what you call us to be and giving us the power by your gospel to want to return to this beautiful, and I emphasize this today, beautiful expression of freedom in honoring the roles that you have defined for us as men and women. When we do that, harmony results, blessing results, nurture of children and love is promoted and unity. It's a beautiful thing. How blessed it is in the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in sweet accord. You want that? I want that. Only Christ can give it. Only his gospel, because he has died and rose again, gives us the power to have a changed life by his spirit, to now live and be the kind of godly men and godly women that we should be, families that choose this day to serve the Lord. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Day is LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.